This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Friday, March 6th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, a new project launched by a Chicago-area playwright. The Vet Art Project collaborates the efforts of veterans and artists making art out of war. We'll also check your weekend forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. A published report indicates the prosecutor investigating Roland Burris' testimony before an Illinois House impeachment panel is asking federal authorities for any recordings involving the senator. Chicago's Sun-Times is reporting today that federal prosecutors are considering the request from Sangamon County State's Attorney John Schmidt. Schmidt is focused on conversations between Burris and Robert Blagojevich, who chaired former Governor Rob Blagojevich's campaign fund. Burris's admission that he had more contact with Blagojevich advisors about the Senate seat than he first described prompted Schmidt's investigation. Meanwhile, Schmidt has questioned House Majority Leader Barbara Flynn Curry, Representative Jim Durkin, and House Member Jill Tracy concerning Burris's appearance before the impeachment panel. Curry said she had nothing to offer. Meanwhile, after another defeat in the legislature, a Republican state senator is conceding Democrats have killed efforts to hold a special election that would oust Burris. Todd Feuer has more.
Voting along party lines, a legislative committee has rejected a special election measure. Although it could come back for another vote, Republican Senator Matt Murphy of Palatine says the action likely killed any chance for a special election. He says now Republicans must remind Illinois that the GOP pushed to give the public a chance to vote, but Democrats stopped them.
All we can do is point that contrast out. It is disappointing, but there's always another election, just not as quickly as we would have liked.
But Senate Democrat Ricky Hendon of Chicago says Republicans are being hypocritical. He says they have opposed a measure that would require special elections for all elected offices, not just Congress.
They're playing partisan games, and they won't support my bill, but they want me to support their bill that just goes after Roland Burris. They must think I'm a fool or something.
Some in the legislature have also been critical of the cost of a special election. Meanwhile, Burris remains under investigation regarding his discrepancies in testimony he gave to a state House panel. I'm Todd Feuer.
Supporters of gay marriage say 2009 could be the year Illinois seriously considers establishing civil unions, but opponents say the pendulum of public support is swinging the other way. A bill that would give same-sex Illinois couples the right to form civil unions with many of the benefits of marriage was approved 4-3 yesterday by the House Youth and Family Committee. It now goes to the House floor. Representative Deb Mell, who is gay, supports the bill and says she finds it strange that as a member of the General Assembly, she can vote on rules and laws that don't apply to her and her family. But Robert Gilligan, executive director for the Catholic Conference of Illinois, says people shouldn't be misled. He says the civil unions bill is really a bill for gay marriage. A federal magistrate has ruled many of the legal claims against Normal's Unit 5 school district related to the sexual abuse of two students by a former teacher should proceed. John White is serving 60 years in prison for sexually abusing 8 girls at Urbana's Thomas Paine Elementary and 2 at a Unit 5 school. He worked at the Normal School District during the 2003-2004 school year before resigning under pressure. The lawsuit filed in October on behalf of 2 elementary school students seeks more than $50,000 in damages from the school district and several administrators. In a recommendation filed Tuesday, U.S. Magistrate Byron Cudmore ruled the claims against White for battery and a hate crime should remain. Claims involving the administrators for failing to supervise White also should move forward. Police and University of Illinois officials are hoping that today's unofficial St. Patrick's Day festivities will be muted compared to previous years. Champaign Police Chief R.T. Finney says advertising has been minimal, and crackdowns on disorderly conduct have made an impression on partiers, especially those who had traveled from elsewhere. Finney says U of I officials have also played a role in keeping the day as close to a normal Friday as possible in the academic sense.
U of I has done a considerable amount of enforcement and correction in their Friday classes to eliminate problems with that have also helped, you know, with the issues on the street. I think when they began to take it serious and cancel and classes were not canceled, that certainly had an effect.
The cities of Champaign and Urbana have issued emergency orders forbidding sales of pitchers and shots at campus town bars today and keeping them from opening until 11 this morning. Champaign is also limiting the bar entry age to 21. The FBI and Homeland Security officials are cautioning Indiana law enforcement that the Big Ten basketball tournaments being held this month in Indianapolis are inviting targets for terrorists. The federal agents mentioned the tournaments in a bulletin dated Wednesday. That note follows an attack this week on a cricket team in Pakistan that killed 6 police officers and a driver and wounded 7 players, a coach, and an umpire. The Big Ten Bulletin says U.S. intelligence agencies are not aware of any threats against the tournaments. The first-round games of the Big Ten women's basketball tournament in Indianapolis began yesterday. The Big Ten men's tournament begins next Thursday. Big Ten spokesman Scott Shipman says the league has security procedures in place to protect fans, student-athletes, and coaches. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. A lot of soldiers say war is hell, and then they won't say anything else. That wasn't good enough for one Chicago-area playwright. She's created a new collaboration called the Vet Art Project. It brings veterans and artists together to make art out of war. The group's vision is a big one. It aims to be a national model for how veterans can tell their stories and get the public to listen. Lynette Kalsness has the story.
I am Lisa, and this is the Vet Art Project, and welcome.
About a dozen people sit in a circle at the Chicago Cultural Center. Several are local playwrights, poets, and painters. The rest are men who have been to war. In the middle, there's a box of Kleenex, some cough drops, and M&Ms. It can hurt to turn war stories into art.
So we went out on our first mission.
Vietnam vet Bill Christ starts out.
That's when my first buddy got killed in an ambush. I was a pacifist myself. I was praying I never had to pull the trigger. But after that happened, I did a 180. I volunteered for every patrol I could go on.
Christ was hit by shrapnel from two grenades, but he made it home, and he thought he could fit right in.
And that wasn't the case. I felt distant, pure lack of trust. I went over to my one buddy's house. He had a little welcome home party after my parents. And without even thinking, I said, hey, you guys get a lot of racket or mortar attacks around here?
Coming back is one of the strangest things I'll ever go through in my life, I'm sure.
Matt Ping sits across the circle from Christ. He's a young vet who served in Afghanistan.
That transition from 16 months of isolation on the side of a mountain and being secluded from American society and American people, and then coming back and trying to be the same person you were before, it's really, I don't know if it's even possible.
A recent study by the Rand Corporation found that nearly 20% of soldiers who served in Iraq and Afghanistan have post-traumatic stress disorder or depression. Only half seek treatment. Pink says part of the problem is Americans don't seem to know or care about the war or its soldiers. He recalls being in Afghanistan in the thick of it and soldiers not being able to reach anxious family members.
And that's probably why the suicide rates are so high, because that's the easiest out. I mean, I'm not going to lie, I sat there with a barrel of a gun in my mouth thinking about pulling the trigger more than once. And, you know, I'm glad I didn't, because I was just in an altered state at the time.
Do you guys have anyone you can talk to?
The curly-haired woman really leading the group nods in sympathy. There are a few teary eyes. The stories
system?
Of war eventually wind down.
Why don't we move to the other side of the room?
The group moves over to a table covered with paper and glue to make collages that reflect the stories they just heard. The inaugural month of the Vet Art Project included art activities and talks like this. It drew roughly 25 vets and 50 artists, and the number keeps growing. Lisa Rosenthal is the playwright behind it all. She says she got the idea after hearing an interview about the healing process for vets.
In order to heal, veterans need to talk. They need to talk to a therapist. They need to talk to a peer group in a peer group setting. But they also need to share their stories with the community. And I thought, artists can build that bridge between the veterans and the community.
It's a bridge constructed of images and words drawn from sometimes reluctant war veterans, says art therapist Suellen Semikoski.
They don't want to cause any more suffering. They don't want to contaminate the people they love with their stories of horror and suffering. You know, they want the sufferings to stop. And they hold it all themselves.
Semikoski, who teaches art therapy at the School of the Art Institute, says art can help calm vets and offer an indirect and safe way to share painful memories. Some of the veterans in the project, like Matt Ping, wrote their own songs and poems. Others, like Bill Crest, told their stories and collaborated with writers who created plays.
In Darkness, Cliff Fall center stage.
It's the first read-through with the actors and Chris play. Director Lila Stromer asks him to tell about the day that his buddy Cliff stepped on a landmine.
So I was going to grab him and pull him back in the grass until I looked down. He was so full of holes and blood that I honestly thought that he was going to pull in half if I tried to drag him. So instead, I stayed out there with him. And as I washed the blood off his face, I saw his eye hanging out of the socket. And I just happened to have that medical pack on me, so I took it, and I just remember putting his eye back in the socket.
Actors Ray Reddy and Joe Lehman turned back to the script.
My face is on fire.
Okay, Cliff, it's me, Bill. I'm here. You're not alone.
Vets like Chris who take part in this project are watching and hearing their worst memories being replayed.
If I start talking about some things, it's like I just see through a wall. I see it actually happening again right on the spot. Not a flashback, but a flash movie.
He says he's going through this because he wants people to know how war affects the mind and that it happens to real people. But he's surprised to find the telling and retelling has helped him, too.
They make things a lot more livable for me. I've noticed that things have loosened up a little bit for me, coming here and talking to them.
And it's not just people who have been to war who need a creative outlet. Nancy Ronquillo is the mother and wife of soldiers. Her son Matt was on the invasion force in Iraq. Ronquillo says he came home depressed and broken. 4 months later, he died in a car crash with his military buddy. She thinks the soldiers were used to Iraq, where they had to speed to avoid rockets.
My son's name won't be on a granite wall or the driver of the car because he didn't die in the battlefield, but I'm sure he died of battle wounds. They were invisible. They were psychic injuries, but I know why he couldn't face life any longer.
Ronquillo says she survived by telling Matt's story in essays. Her words inspired artists here to create modern dance and a painting.
When I struggle with the fact that Matt's not alive, what I want is Matt's spirit in the world. And if Matt's spirit can be here healing, then I'm really happy about that. So.
Ronquillo gets her first glimpse of the painting at the Vet Project's final show. The words of her essay are the background for portraits of grieving women from around the world. She hugs the artist.
It is so beautiful.
Oh, good. Did you recognize it?
I was like, totally, totally blown away. You have done an incredible job.
The Vet Art Project's Lisa Rosenthal wants moments like this to happen across the country. She's writing a guide so other cities can replicate the experience. It's far from over in Chicago. More vets are calling, wanting to tell their stories, and a few VA centers have requested workshops. Some collaborations continue, like that of Matt Ping and his fellow musicians. They performed his songs about war at the final show and want to keep playing together.
Watch the pain drive men insane. I want to go back home again so I can rest my mind.
Ping is so excited after the show, he's almost giddy. He says he still feels isolated at times, but creating art gives him a break. It lets him forget everything for a while. I'm Lynette Kalsness.
Hear the sound and watch the sky. I pray to God that I don't die so I can be with you. Pardon me, oh, what can I say? Pardon me, oh, what can I say? A part of me will never be the same. Pardon me, oh, what can I say?
In our forecast for today, partly sunny skies, the high around 65 degrees. Mostly cloudy tonight, a chance of showers after midnight, the low around 52. Showers and thunderstorms are likely tomorrow, the high around 65. Gusting winds up to 25 miles per hour. Showers and thunderstorms coming Saturday night as well, the low around 50 with southwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour, gusts up to 25. Showers and thunderstorms likely Sunday, the high around 62. Colder Sunday night, mostly cloudy, the low in the upper 30s, mostly sunny Monday with a high in the upper 50s. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, March 6th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.